The tracker led Agamemnon down the trail toward the scene of the slaughter. As he passed his men, Agamemnon fanned his hand at them.
Take up defensive positions, just in case.
His men spread out to form a defensive arc around their area. Each one faced out into the jungle, his gun ready to fire.
The blood is old, and the insects have had their share already.
But you're sure it is blood?
Yes, sir. Very sure.
Agamemnon crawled over a downed log and felt his foot slip on something. He glanced down, expecting to find a body, but it was only a carpet of moist moss. He continued on. Ahead, he could see the first tracker, who knelt in the tall grass of a clearing. As they approached, the man looked up and nodded at Agamemnon.
Sir,
show me.
The first tracker parted the grass, and Agamemnon could see the slick darkness standing in contrast to the brilliant green. Ants and flies swarmed over the site, but there was no body.
Is this it?
Isolated patches there, and there, and there as well. It looks like four men were killed here.
Four men. Agamemnon's thoughts raced. That was most of Eduardo's team. And there was no telling if Eduardo had been among the men who had apparently been killed.
But where are the bodies?
They seem to have just disappeared into the jungle.
Disappeared?
Yes, sir.
And they left no trail?
None we could follow for more than a few yards. The bodies seem to have been dragged somewhat, and then they vanished.
Agamemnon glowered. This wasn't good news. If Eduardo's team had been killed somehow by the sniper and the American woman, there would be evidence aside from spurts of blood on the ground. That left the possibility of something else.
It's possible there are others out here, then.
We were thinking the same thing, sir.
They would have to be very good to be able to ambush a group of trained soldiers like Eduardo and his men.
And the lack of a trail means that they were adept at moving through the jungle. Possibly in ways that we are not.
Agamemnon chewed his lip. How much worse could his current situation get? He sighed and brushed at the flies that had begun investigating him.
We'll need to move on very carefully. If there's a chance that some other group is operating out here, I don't want us falling victim to them the way Eduardo's team apparently did.
The trackers stood. One of them slid out his knife, a handmade balisong with a dangerous blade on it.
You sure you wouldn't rather use a gun?
No, sir. I don't think a gun will do any good against the people who have skill to do what they did here, sir.
Do you know something you're not telling me?
The trackers eyed each other, and then the second one glanced at his feet.
Just legend, sir. Nothing more.
Tell me.
The second tracker leaned against the tree behind him and glanced at his partner, who nodded.
This jungle is supposed to be haunted by the spirits of a once powerful tribe of Moros warriors who controlled this area.
Moros? The tribe who used to fight off armed conquerors with knives?
Yes, sir. But they were nearly hunted to extinction, it is said. Except for the ones who live in these jungles. Somehow they managed to survive and eke out a living here. For years, this jungle was avoided by all the locals. But now the old legends have been forgotten. There are more people, and they want more space. The land is being eaten away by developers.
Or people like me.
Obviously, this is the perfect place to use as a base for your operations. Even the army has a hard time trekking in the jungle. But the legends are still whispered about.
You think we are being hunted?
The older tracker shook his head and pointed toward the bloodstains.
But someone most definitely tracked the first team and apparently killed some of their men.
And you've got no trail to follow now.
That's correct.
Trails just don't disappear. There's simply no way to erase a presence from the jungle. There's got to be something we're not seeing yet.
We searched up ahead about 10 yards.
Expand your search. I want to know exactly what happened here beyond the deaths. I want to know how these trails can simply disappear.
Very well, sir.
Agamemnon started to go back to his men, and then stopped. He turned around and looked at the trackers.
These legends, did they say what happened to the people who disappeared?
No, sir. But no one who disappeared has ever been heard from again. The logical assumption is that they died here in the jungle.
And no remains were ever found?
No, sir. It was like the jungle swallowed them up, bones and all.
But keep looking. I want answers.
Agamemnon turned and headed back down the path, and was shocked to see the men had clumped together and had been listening to the trackers instead of watching for trouble.
Get up! Forget the legends! We're armed and skilled, and whatever is out there is no match for us!
He glanced back down the trail and prayed he was right. As Agamemnon's men hacked their way through the jungle, the trackers moved 100 yards farther down the trail, when they stopped and waved for their tired leader again.
What is it now?
The first tracker pointed at the depressions in the ground.
This is where two people lay, a man and a woman. They are the people I think you are looking for.
Agamemnon looked around. He could clearly make out where the tall grass had been crumpled under the weight of two distinct bodies. But he saw little else.
Is there any sign there was a battle here?
There's no blood, if that's what you're asking. We don't think whoever was here was killed.
Or even wounded. But there are signs they were somehow incapacitated. See over there? It would appear that they are dragged away.
Like the others?
Yes.
And how much farther before they vanish like the others?
20 yards.
Agamemnon shook his head and then checked his watch. If things were going as they should have been, Mickey would be well on his way to getting the device on its journey to Manila. Agamemnon estimated it would take him the better part of 2 days to reach the city and get the device secreted away. In the meantime, Agamemnon needed to know if anyone else knew of his plans. He needed to get his hands on the sniper. He looked back at the trackers.
There has to be a clue. Somewhere. You need to find it. I don't care if we search all night.
But, sir, we're running out of light.
I don't care. Keep looking.
As the sun goes down, we'll be greatly limited in what we can see. It's dark enough during the day under the canopy, but doing this at night could mean we make mistakes.
Agamemnon glowered at the two men and stroked the top of his rifle.
I suggest you don't make any mistakes. That wouldn't bode well for your future.
The trackers nodded and turned away from Agamemnon. He didn't care if they liked him or not. All they had to do was follow his orders. They had to find the clue that would point them in the right direction to finding the sniper, the woman, and possibly Eduardo. Agamemnon returned to the rest of his men. They were completely worn out. Agamemnon knew he was on dangerous ground here. He knew that if he pushed them too far, they would stumble and be completely ineffective in the event of a firefight. But a little fear might help nudge them along. He waved them over.
Men, we're going to keep following this trail a little while longer. I know that we are all tired, but I think you'll agree we should keep going.
Why so, sir?
Agamemnon looked at the exhausted face of the young recruit. Perfect.
Because something else out here is hunting us. It's true. The trackers have found evidence that we are not alone. And they've discovered that the search team from the other camp was quite possibly ambushed.
Were they all killed, sir?
It looks like 4 of them were, yes. But there was a survivor.
Where is he, sir?
I don't know. Their trail seems to vanish after they were dragged for several yards. That's what the trackers are looking for right now. We need to find out where they went.
What about the American woman?
It appears that she is still alive. Although she and the sniper that we're also searching for appear to have been taken by force as well.
What do you think we are dealing with here, sir?
I don't know. The trackers tell me there are legends about this jungle. Rumors, mostly. But supposedly the spirits of an old tribe still inhabit this land.
Do you believe them, sir?
Agamemnon didn't believe in spirits, but he knew many of his men did. And perhaps a little hint of the supernatural would help propel them further.
Well, I don't really know. My own experience with the spirit world has been limited. But the men tracking for us are convinced the spirits are active. And they are not happy that we've come into their territory. Our best bet now is to make our way through as quickly as possible and get out of here. Once we find the woman and the sniper, we will return to our camp and await the news of our plan in Manila.
The men nodded. Agamemnon could see the looks on their faces turning from exhaustion to determination. He smiled.
A few more hours and we should be able to get out of here. We'll have what we came for. We can do this, men. I know we can. Each of you was chosen by me because I believe in you all. We can and will do this. Fill up on the water. Cut the tube vines if you need more. The trackers tell me we must keep moving, so we won't be stopping at any rivers unless we absolutely have to.
Agamemnon turned and headed back down the trail. In the bush ahead, he could see the trackers working together. They seemed to be moving slowly.
Damn them. I need them moving faster than that.
But even he had to admit that the fading sunlight was making it difficult to see even a few feet in front of him. The sun was dipping toward the horizon. Ordinarily, it would have been prudent to simply set up camp. But prudence wasn't what Agamemnon wanted now. He pushed through a stand of tall grass. Around him, his men chopped at the jungle with their machetes, their blades biting through the dense undergrowth. A few minutes farther down the trail, the younger of the two trackers returned to the group. Agamemnon could see the pain in his face as he walked up close.
What?
We need to stop, sir.
Why?
It's simply too dark. We can't keep on stalking them under these conditions. I beg you to consider stopping.
We have an agenda to keep to. Stopping isn't part of the plan.
In the darkness, your men could easily wander away from the trail and get lost. Your manpower would suffer in the event that we come under attack.
And if we set up a camp, aren't we just inviting whatever is out here to come and get us?
We could post sentries, sir.
My men are worried. They are scared and tired. If we stop now, they will become even more frightened. And then they will be completely useless to me.
And if we keep going, some of them may die.
Your partner, does he agree?
He does. The only reason he has not come back to protest is because he needs to mark the trail so we can find it again in the morning.
Agamemnon looked overhead. In the short time they'd been talking, daylight had shrunk even further. The night was coming down fast. Shadows grew longer off the trail. A fire would be a welcome thing. So would a decent meal. Part of him wanted to go on, to push his men past their breaking point in order to show them what they were truly capable of. But a bigger part of him knew the trackers were correct. They had to stop.
Very well.
You're sure, sir?
You just said we needed to stop. That it's too dangerous to continue. I value the lives of my men. I'm not a fool, after all.
It's the right decision, sir. Tomorrow we will find them. I swear it.
Agamemnon turned to address his men and raised his hand for their attention.
We'll stop here for the night.
Sir?
You heard me. It's too dark to go on. Set up the shelters and get some fires going. I want sentries posted first. Rotate the men so everyone gets a good rest. We'll get some food and water and rest here. At first light, we will continue.
What about the spirits, sir?
I doubt very much they'll trouble us tonight. Spirits need to rest, too.
Agamemnon allowed himself to lean against the trunk of a spindly tree and then slid all the way to the ground. Even the dive-bombing mosquitoes did little to annoy him as fatigue washed over his entire body.
Sir?
Agamemnon glanced up. The second tracker stood in front of him. He held out a canteen.
Fresh water from the turbines nearby, sir. You look as though you could use a drink.
Thank you.
He accepted the canteen and the tracker squatted next to him.
We'll get them first thing in the morning, sir.
How can you be so sure?
It's appealing.
You've hunted men before?
Yes, many times.
I was impressed with your experience when I called you to join us.
My brother and I...
The other tracker is your brother?
Yes, sir.
Incredible.
We were trained by the very best. When we were much younger, we used to live out in the jungle for weeks at a time.
Well, go and get your brother. Tonight, we rest.
Very well, sir. I'll go get him.
Agamemnon sipped the water, feeling the tepid liquid slide down his throat. It tasted only vaguely of dirt, and he was grateful for the chance to rest. But his reprieve was short-lived. Moments after he left, the second tracker hurried toward him. When Agamemnon saw the look on his face, all peace fled his body.
What's the matter?
My brother! He's vanished!
Vic eyed Eduardo, and Eduardo returned the stare as Anya began to look around. From what she could make out in the dark environment, the cavern they were in was part of a much larger series of interconnected caves. Elaborate paintings decorated animal hides on the walls. She could see some type of script, but couldn't make out what lingual family it might have belonged to, if any that she even knew of.
I think we're okay, for now.
Vic nodded, but didn't take his eyes off Eduardo. Eduardo didn't blink either.
Guys, maybe you should just kill each other now and get it over with.
Nah, too noisy. And that wouldn't be good for any of us.
He's right. As much as it would give me pleasure to kill you both, it would be like committing suicide. And since I wouldn't be taking out a lot of high-value targets with me, it would be a waste.
Well, when you put it like that, maybe we should just try to get along and find a way out of here, right?
Did you find something?
No, but it seems pretty quiet out there. I'm not sure if everyone's asleep or not. I have no idea what time it might be.
Can't be night again. They would have come for us by now. Even if we don't know what time it is, I'm sure they know.
Yes, and Hector seemed very sure that we would be killed at sunset.
Which is exactly why we should make ourselves scarce now. Let's get moving.
You're armed, right?
Anya simply smiled. Vic crossed his arms and gave her what Anya assumed was his no-nonsense look.
At some point, you're going to tell us exactly how you managed to cut the bindings, right?
Not likely.
Obviously, you have a blade hidden somewhere on you. Is it secreted in some dark nether place that you can't show me?
I'll let your imagination run away with that one for a while. But don't press me on the issue, okay?
Okay.
We should have an order of travel. Someone will need to take point.
Anya, you want me to do it?
You've got the most experience creeping through the jungle, Vic, so maybe.
This isn't the jungle. This is under the jungle. I have no idea what we might encounter.
You're still tops for the job in my book.
Yes, you do have the skill to be stealthy. I will grant you that at least.
Lucky me.
Eduardo, you'll go next.
Next? I was going to suggest I bring up the rear.
I'll take the rear.
You don't trust me?
Not one little bit.
He leaned closer to her.
And what will you do if I suddenly kill Vic here? How will you stop me then, woman?
You don't want to know what I'm capable of, Eduardo, so don't push me.
What you're capable of? What an utterly ridiculous statement.
Hey, she survived out in the jungle with nothing but the clothes on her back. That says plenty to me.
She survived because she ran into you.
Not right away, she didn't.
Eduardo started to say something else, but thought better of it. He clamped his mouth shut and then just nodded.
We should go.
Vic led the way out of the small entrance to their cavern. Anya followed behind Eduardo and cast a final glimpse back at their prison. It would have been nice to bring a torch along, but they couldn't risk the light giving them away as they made their way through the cave complex. They'd have to do it all in the darkness. Fortunately, Anya didn't think that whoever else was down there with Hector would be able to maneuver without a torch. That meant they'd have a pretty good warning of someone approaching them. It might just give them enough time to hide, she hoped. Vic eased his way down the path. Anya found it hard following along until she relaxed and sank deeper into her subconsciously aware state. Instead of relying on her conscious mind to guide her via her five senses, Anya allowed her instincts to take over. As soon as she did so, she could feel Eduardo's presence in front of her and beyond him, Vic. Moving in this fashion, she knew how fast to travel and when to slow down. Vic didn't keep his pace constant, but would sometimes slow down as if he needed to check up ahead. Vic was nervous. She could sense it in the way he moved. But if Vic was nervous, Eduardo was utterly terrified. And Anya didn't think his fear stemmed solely from their predicament. He seemed to be scared of the darkness itself. That worried Anya. His fear could give him away if he didn't do something to control himself. Anya sensed Vic stopping, and Eduardo turned toward her partially.
He's checking something out.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You're not. You're terrified. I can tell.
How can you tell?
I just can. Don't worry about it so much. None of us can see.
Vic doesn't seem to have a problem.
Only because he's used to operating in near darkness. But even he's nervous. Trust me.
Who are you?
No one special. Just take some deep breaths and you'll feel better about all this. Vic will get us back up top and then we'll be fine.
You really think so?
Sure.
Anya wondered if he wasn't so evil after all. Then she frowned. No. She wouldn't let herself think that. She'd been too optimistic about humanity in the past and knew that people were capable of concealing their true nature if they thought it would help their cause. She knew she'd have to watch him carefully.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anya sensed Vic returning, and then they started moving again. Her hands passed over cave walls that felt incredibly smooth, almost as if water had worn down all the nooks and crannies over the years until the stone felt like cool marble. Had an underground river carved this network out of the jungle? Anya wished she had a light source to see what they were passing. No doubt it would have made for a great story on Chasing History's Monsters, if only the threat of being sacrificed to some unknown deity hadn't figured so prominently into it. Anya didn't relish losing her life for the sake of good television. There were plenty of other saps who would aspire to that. They moved slowly for the better part of 15 minutes. Then Vic stopped moving suddenly.
Someone's coming. Hide.
Anya shrank back against the rock, trying to find a way to press herself into some kind of niche. But the rock was as smooth as what they had been passing so far.
There isn't a place to hide.
She sensed more movement. Then Vic was beside her, with his lips near her ear.
Three men are coming with torches. If they pass by us, they will see us. We need to hide.
Where? We can't see.
I know. I was hoping you might have an idea.
Me? How could I?
I don't know. But you better figure something out.
Okay, follow me.
What do you mean he's banished?
The second tracker, whom Agamemnon had learned was called Joey, shook his head.
When I went back to get him as you ordered, he was nowhere to be found. I searched the area close by, but he's gone.
Agamemnon gestured imperiously at his patrol leader. The exhausted soldier approached him.
Sir?
Joey is going to show me the lay of the land for our search tomorrow. Take care of getting the men squared away. I want small fires only, nothing too large. There's no sense advertising our presence if we can avoid it. Get them fed and to sleep. We'll be back shortly.
The patrol leader nodded and moved away. Agamemnon watched him for a few seconds and then turned to Joey.
Let's go.
Joey led him out of the small clearing and down the trail. Agamemnon kept a hand on his pistol just in case. After 50 yards, Joey stopped and pointed to the ground.
This is where his last track is.
I can't see anything.
Joey took his hand and placed it on the ground.
Touch lightly here.
Agamemnon did so and felt a shallow depression.
Ah.
You feel the rounded parts?
Yes.
From the ball of his foot. He pushed off here. But his trail ends and I have cast around for the next one, but I can't find anything.
You say he pushed off?
Yes.
So that's good.
I don't follow, sir.
Well, if he was taken captive or killed, he wouldn't necessarily be pushing off, would he? He'd be dragged somewhere.
That's true, I suppose.
And since his track shows no sign that he was incapacitated, there's a good chance he's fine and has just wandered off, right?
Well, I suppose so, but it's odd that his trail ends. No matter where he's gone, I'd be able to follow him.
Are you sure?
My brother Michael and I, we were trained together. We learned how to bind each other regardless of what we tried to do to disguise our trail.
But you can't bind him now?
No.
Agamemnon glanced back over his shoulder. He could see small fires springing up. He couldn't be out here much longer if he hoped to keep his men from growing suspicious.
Well, what do you suggest we do?
Look for him.
Now?
He could be in trouble.
Look, we stopped because you and your brother told me it was too dangerous to go poking around here at night. Now you want me to forsake that very order and go off looking for your brother who may in fact be fine?
He's not fine.
It's downright dangerous. Look, I've got a patrol of hungry, tired men who are already jumpy about our predicament here, thanks to the rumors about spirits. If I go back there and tell them your brother has gone missing, it's liable to make them run for parts unknown.
Joey stared out into the jungle, his jaw clenching with worry.
I can't leave him out here.
I'm afraid you're going to have to.
When Joey looked back at him, he found himself staring into the muzzle of Agamemnon's pistol.
You should know that I will shoot you dead unless you come back with me right now and pretend that everything is fine. I need you and your skill.
Joey's eyes flashed, and for a moment Agamemnon was worried he might indeed have to shoot him. But then Joey's shoulders sagged.
All right. You win.
Good.
But if anything happens to him...
Don't threaten me, Joey. Don't be that foolish. I've killed men, women, and children for far less. I've enjoyed it.
They made their way back to the improvised camp. Agamemnon was reassured that his men seemed to be relaxing. They still had the capacity for humor. His patrol leader looked up as they came into the firelight.
Where's the other one?
Agamemnon glanced at Joey, who seemed to struggle within himself for a split second.
My brother likes to make sure we aren't surprised, and has opted to spend the night out beyond the periphery of the camp.
Alone?
Yes.
He's crazy.
Maybe. A bit.
The patrol commander started to say something, seemed to think better of it, and then just shrugged.
I thought he'd at least join us for dinner.
We're skilled at finding food without the need of fires and the like. He's probably got himself in a tree, enjoying the solitude. He's a bit of a loner.
Agamemnon sat on a space cleared for him, with his rifle across his lap, still pointing vaguely in Joey's direction.
Well then, let's get some dinner, shall we?
The patrol commander handed him a plate of chicken and rice. Agamemnon took a forkful and chewed it, marveling at how suddenly ravenous he felt. He tore through the food and then got himself a second helping. Joey ate little. Agamemnon could tell he was still thinking about the safety of his brother. That was fine, he reasoned, provided he didn't do anything stupid, and as long as no one else noticed his concern and got suspicious. The patrol commander passed around a canteen. Agamemnon washed down his meal with several long swallows. He passed it to Joey, who took a long drag on it before handing it back.
I think I'll retire. We've got an early morning ahead of us.
Wise words. Everyone get to bed.
Agamemnon stretched and then got to his feet. The patrol commander pointed to a hammock a few feet away.
Your hammock is all set, sir.
Thank you.
Agamemnon rolled into the hammock and pulled his mosquito netting over him. Instantly, he felt a blanket of sleep settle over. To his surprise, he fell asleep almost instantly. The next thing he knew, the patrol commander was shaking him. Agamemnon's hand went right to his pistol.
What is it?
Sorry to wake you, sir.
Oh, what time is it?
Almost midnight.
Why are you waking me?
It's the tracker, Joey. He's gone.
Damn it! God help him, because when I get my hands on him, I may just pour some acid in his eye sockets.
Anya huddled against the wall of the cavern. Close by, Vic and Eduardo tried to tuck themselves into the various crannies that the rock wall afforded them. They'd raced back into the tunnel, hoping they could deal with the approaching captors without alerting the rest of the tribe. It was their only hope. Anya saw the faint glow of light far down the long, dark corridor of stone.
They're coming!
How many?
Hard to say from here, but at least two.
Anya thought hard. The cavern measured roughly 10 feet by 12 feet, and the roof was about 7 feet high. The dips in the walls were not going to hide them all if they just sat there waiting.
Vic, I have an idea. I'll handle these guys. You and Eduardo get away while I distract them. Find a way out. If we don't have that, we're screwed.
Are you nuts? They'll kill you, Anya.
I'll be fine.
I think she has a good suggestion. We should keep moving.
Man, at least you're consistent.
Go on. Hopefully this won't take that long.
Are you sure? What the hell are you gonna do?
Vic, please. Trust me. I've done okay so far, haven't I?
Be careful.
I will. Sit tight till the right moment.
Anya crept forward into the darkness, heading to the light. When she was completely cloaked in the black, and Vic and Eduardo would not be able to see her, she closed her eyes. Just holding the sword sent a boost of energy into her, making her tired, sore limbs feel stronger.
Okay, hope this works.
She bolted down the hall toward her captors. As she came into the circle of light, the three tribesmen coming toward her stopped dead for a moment in shock. She saw three muscular, dark-skinned men covered in elaborate symbols painted on their bodies. Their eyes burned as they saw her. Anya grinned and waved her sword.
You guys suck at knot tying, did you know? Ha!
She turned and raced back the way she came, the three furious captors hard on her heels. She prayed hard that Vic and Eduardo wouldn't be noticed, that the torch-carrying maniacs chasing her had had their night vision disrupted by the light. She flew past where the men were pressed into the irregularities in the walls with the Moros hard after her, their torchlights swirling crazily about. She felt a spark of hope as they kept after her well past where Vic and Eduardo were hiding. Anya braced herself and turned to face her attackers. One of the warriors took the other torches and stepped back as the first two men unsheathed long, thin blades from their loincloths. Anya watched as their lean, sinewy arms gripped the blades. Both men moved carefully. They obviously knew how to fight. She moved into a defensive stance with her body angled toward her opponents. The sword was cumbersome in the confined space of the cavern. Both of the warriors seemed to sense this, and their blades, while longer than an average chef's knife, were nonetheless well suited to fighting in tighter quarters. The two warriors split apart and took opposite sides of the cavern, trying to feel her out, trying to fathom what her strategy might be for this encounter. One of them threw a half-hearted feint that Anya ignored. No sense lunging for something that wasn't there. And she had no doubt that if she did, the other warrior would gut her in no time. The torches being held by the third warrior flickered as they all circled one another. Anya could feel the tension growing. The warrior on her right side suddenly launched himself, cutting at her throat. Anya pivoted and struck out at him, but he sensed her counterattack and spun himself out of range. She could see the eyes of the second warrior flare, but there was something else in them as well. Perhaps they were curious about her. The second warrior dropped low and stabbed straight at Anya's midsection. Anya sliced at his arm, but he yanked it out of the way just in time. Anya felt the perspiration dripping down her face. Two moves and she was already getting winded. The first warrior cut in at her again, but as Anya went to parry the stab, he pushed past the inside of her parry and cut down on top of her forearm.
Ah!
Anya whirled and caught the scent of blood in the air. The cut wasn't very deep, but it hurt like hell. And worse, Anya knew they now understood how to neutralize the effectiveness of her sword.
Man, I wish this blade was shorter.
The second warrior stabbed at her from high overhead, a suicidal move. She could drop down and bring her blade up, and he would impale himself. She started to do just that, but then stopped, whirled, and stuck her sword out to the side and into the guts of her other opponent. Anya yanked her sword out and spun and sliced into the fallen man's neck. Blood spouted down his chest, and his body slumped to one side, unmoving against the side of the cavern. Anya spun to face the second warrior, whose eyes burned with fury. But there were still two very potent men facing her. The second warrior circled her. The third warrior was searching for a place to rest the torches. Anya could see that he'd found a torch holder in the rock. Great. Now, instead of just one, she had two to face again. And this time, she knew they would change their tactics. Both men suddenly came at her simultaneously. Anya parried the first horizontal slash, keeping her sword up as she stepped between them. It was a foolish move. She felt the bite of another cut in her lower back. Only the fact that she had been moving forward meant the difference between a shallow cut and a mortal stab to her kidney. She was running out of time. One more misstep, and she'd be dead. Agamemnon rolled out of his hammock and instantly felt the dive bomb assault of the mosquitoes. He swatted a few of them and followed his patrol commander out past the ring of fires.
I wondered if he would do this.
Do what, sir?
Go after his brother.
I thought his brother was asleep out past the periphery of the camp.
His brother went missing as we were settling in. He wanted to go after him then, but I wouldn't allow it.
Why?
Because it would scare the men. Losing one of our trackers is cause for concern, don't you think?
So, what now?
Are the men asleep?
Yes, sir. Today was hard on them. I think they'll all be happier in the morning if they get some solid rest.
Good. Get me a rifle.
Sir?
I want a rifle. I'm only carrying a pistol.
What for, sir?
I'm going to find our trackers.
Alone, sir?
Yes.
The commander left him alone in the jungle night. Agamemnon looked out into the darkness. The jungle came alive at night, it seemed to him. Usually, he liked to pass the time asleep. The commander returned and handed him an AK-47.
It's fully loaded, sir. I brought you an extra magazine as well.
Agamemnon racked the slide on the rifle and slid the extra magazine into the pouch on his belt, and then checked to make sure he still had his pistol and knife.
Here's the plan. I'll go out and see if I can find our missing trackers. If I can, I'll bring them back. If you hear gunshots, that means I'm in trouble.
Try to keep firing, and we'll find you, sir.
Agamemnon nodded and tightened his straps. The less noise he made as he worked through the undergrowth, the better.
Tell me, do you know anything about the Moros?
Only what we've all learned in history class, that they resisted foreign attempts at control, first with the Spanish and later with the Americans. Dangerous fighters, it is said.
I think they owe that reputation to the fact they were so ferocious in combat. They were extremely skilled knife fighters, if I recall.
The Chris knife was one of their specialties.
Yeah, indeed.
Do you think we're up against them now, sir?
I don't really know what to think. All this talk of vengeful spirits doesn't sit well with me.
Be careful, sir.
Thank you.
The commander turned and walked back toward the camp. Agamemnon watched him go and then turned to face the jungle.
Now we'll see what is truly going on out here. But where to start?
It seemed to make the most sense to begin with the track that Joey had shown him. Agamemnon felt certain that Joey would have started his search there, and if nothing else, it gave Agamemnon a place to plan. As he walked through the tall grass toward the spot he remembered, Agamemnon listened to the jungle, alert for attack. He found his way back to the track and knelt, pressing his hand down till his fingers brushed the depressions. Agamemnon looked up. Where would Joey go from here? Where would he look for another track? Agamemnon stood and chose a direction, picking his way through the undergrowth. Several downed logs barred his path, and he had to clamber over them. The AK-47 felt heavy in his hands, and as much as he hated doing so, he had to rest the weapon on the other side of the downed buttress trees.
I am not as young as I used to be.
He almost laughed at the thought of trying to write a biography of his life. Who would have thought it would get to this point? A spiderweb stuck to his face, and Agamemnon jumped back, startled. He felt something scramble through his hair and clawed at it. Finally, he threw it to the ground, praying it didn't bite him in the process. There were plenty of poisonous things in the jungle. The last thing he needed was to be bitten by a spider. He scratched his head again, feeling as if there were bugs all over him now. He was sweating profusely and stopped to take a long drink from his canteen. He thought about the men in camp. In the morning, they'd be well rested and ready to resume their search, and he would be exhausted. Still, he felt compelled to take care of this himself. Agamemnon slung his canteen and moved on. He kept his eyes almost permanently fixed to the ground, looking for any indication that Joey had come this way, but he found nothing. Fortunately, the moon had broken out from behind the clouds. The canopy shielded most of its light, but even still, some found its way down to the jungle floor. Agamemnon could make out some details, and it helped guide him several yards. After a half an hour, he stopped to lean against a tree.
This isn't getting me anywhere but lost. What is it that I'm not seeing? What am I missing?
A thought occurred to him, and he moved back the way he'd come. It was only a matter of 50 yards, but he found even doing that was confusing. He marveled at how utterly simple it would be to become completely lost in the jungle, especially at night. And yet, a lot of his men had either been killed or captured by people who knew this land like the back of their hands. Agamemnon looked for the place he'd started his search. He walked back and knelt in the tall grass. The track was still there. What if the problem is everyone has been looking at this like a tracker? What if it's not supposed to be that simple? He had no idea what made sense anymore. The closest point to the track was a stand of trees off to the right. They were closely bunched together. There was no way anyone would go over there, he thought. He stopped. That was logic speaking to him.
Screw logic.
Agamemnon rose and walked over to the clump of trees. Their trunks reached up toward the sky, and they must have easily been several hundred years old. Tube vines wrapped around the trunks as they did throughout the jungle. Tall grass obscured parts of the roots. Agamemnon could find no tracks. He looked higher. He squinted. Was that a gouge on the bark just above his eye level? He ran his fingers over it. There was definitely a break in the tree bark, just shy of where a vine covered part of it. Agamemnon moved the vine and saw the scrape was larger than he'd originally thought. He looked further up and saw that the trunks parted, each one branching off in a different direction. He took another look around. He didn't feel like he was being watched, but even still, it never hurt to be prepared. He tried standing on tiptoes to see what the crook of the tree looked like where the trunks diverged, but it was too high up to see that far. He'd have to climb. Agamemnon slid the strap of the AK-47 over his shoulder and then grasped part of the tube vine closest to him. It seemed thick enough to support his weight. He pulled himself up. He struggled to get his legs up and over part of the trunk. The vine felt as if it was coming away from the bark, and he started to fall back until he got his hands around a thicker part of the branches closest to him. He hauled himself up into the thicker trunk area. He dropped his hand down and felt something smooth. He frowned. His fingers closed over something that didn't feel natural. He recognized it almost immediately, a metal handle. Agamemnon looked back toward the camp. Should he go and wake them all? No. Instead, he pulled on the handle and felt it lift. From what he could just barely make out, the opening led down into a space between the trunks that could not be seen when looking at the trees from down on the ground. A secret tunnel? Agamemnon slid the AK-47 off his shoulder and aimed it down the hole.
I guess I know where I'm going next.
On your world, facing the two remaining Moros warriors. Each of them held the wicked-looking Chris knife, and the two cuts she'd already suffered were sign enough that she had to finish things off as quickly as possible. She concentrated on the first warrior, who wanted to edge his way around to her left. Anya used her lead foot to keep it in line with his center line. By dipping the tip of her blade just a bit, she could keep him from getting to that side. The second warrior also was starting to edge his way to her right. Anya frowned. They wanted to flank her at the same time. By splitting her attention, they'd be able to get a kill shot in on her.
Oh, no you don't.
The first warrior slashed at her. Anya rolled and sliced the front of his shins. He leaped away from her, knocking into the cavern wall. Anya got to her feet and instantly pointed at the other warrior in order to keep him at bay. She fainted with a stab at his heart, and he dodged it. Anya flicked the blade up and cut him on the back of his hand. Anya was soaked through with sweat. Something about the close confines of the cavern made it tougher to get her air back. Ordinarily, using the sword made her feel more powerful. She could feel its power still coursing through her veins, but somehow it felt muted. The first warrior circled toward her front. The second tried edging his way to her right again. Anya frowned. They seemed to be moving slower now. Her head swam. She blinked twice, and then saw the first warrior coming straight at her. Anya spun, bending back just as the blade of his knife streaked in at her heart. Anya knocked it away and then righted herself, thrusting with the sword straight at him. Blood spurted from his carotid artery. He clamped a hand on the wound, but the effort was useless. He took a half-hearted stab at her, and Anya danced out of range, still wary of the other warrior. The first warrior slumped to the ground. The final warrior risked one glance at his fallen comrade and then glared at Anya. She didn't have the energy to glare back. Her head ached, and she was literally dripping with sweat. It seemed harder than ever to keep moving. The warrior rolled on the ground and grabbed the other man's knife. When he came to his feet, he wielded a blade in each hand. Anya feinted a thrust at his heart. He parried it while simultaneously slashing down at her. Anya backed up. He whirled the two blades and moved into another fighting posture. Anya's head swam. The wound on her back throbbed. With a sinking feeling, she realized that their blades could have been treated with poison. The cuts she'd received could have gotten that poison into her bloodstream. If she didn't end this soon, she'd be dead. Anya held the blade and faced her opponent. She could see the rage burning in his eyes. The rapid-fire three strikes came at her faster than she expected. It was all she could do to parry and dodge them one after another. Anya retreated even farther. She sensed the wall behind her.
I'm losing it.
He attacked again. The warrior circled her. Anya realized he was wearing her out till the poison took her down. The tip of her blade kept him at bay, but as he continued to dance around her periphery like a hungry shark, Anya let the tip of her sword wobble a bit. The toxin was starting to shut her down. She could feel the hammering of her heart as the wound to her back continued to throb mercilessly. The warrior pressed her again. Anya parried, dodged, and leaped to avoid being cut. Each movement seemed to grow more painful than the last. Her muscles felt as if they were seizing. The warrior must have sensed it. He smiled now at Anya. The tip of her sword faltered, and then she allowed it to drop even more until it pointed toward the floor. The warrior charged. Anya stepped to one side and dropped to her knee, flicking the blade up and inside the man's arcing arms as they came down. The blade slid right into his sternum, bisecting his heart. Anya withdrew the sword. She used the blade to push herself back up to a standing position. She took two steps and then had to lean against the wall for support. Her vision blurred. The flickering torches didn't help.
God, to find Vic.
Her heart rate seemed to be slowing. Even her injured back seemed less annoying now. She took a breath and realized she was losing sensation in her limbs.
Vic.
She took another step and dropped to the floor of the cavern. She could vaguely smell the blood on the floor from the men she'd killed. Was she going to die here as well? She gripped her sword in one hand and tried to pull herself along the floor with the other, but her legs didn't seem to want to obey her commands. Anya looked at the sword and the dull gray light it cast off. She tried to crawl again, but only managed to get a mouthful of dirt and stone for her weak efforts. The sword. Anya had to put it away before someone else found it. If she was going to die, then the secret of its existence had to die with her. She took one last breath and closed her eyes. Darkness reached out for her. Agamemnon dropped into the hole. 6 feet down, he landed. The opening was barely large enough to accommodate him. He squinted in the dark. Feeling around with his hands, he found there was another opening in front of him. He moved forward slowly, not wanting to suddenly plunge down some unseen hole to his death. The tunnel seemed to slope down at a gradual angle. Agamemnon reached up overhead, but still found the opening not quite large enough to stand up in. Strange. He frowned. If his other men had been taken by force, how had their captors managed to get them into this tunnel? He had a hard enough time navigating it himself. Unless there were other openings scattered throughout this section of jungle, it was possible, he supposed. He moved forward and could sense better airflow coming at him, and surmised that the ceiling was growing in height the deeper he went. He didn't bang his head on the ceiling, although he felt long tendrils reaching down for him. He brushed them away and realized they were roots from the jungle floor that was now above him. Running his hands overhead, he could feel the thick underside of old roots woven into a patchwork of supports. They were actually holding up the roof of the tunnel. Incredible. Agamemnon wondered how long something like this could have been in existence, but then remembered hearing stories of the Moros being able to vanish in the blink of an eye. Now he knew why they could. With hideouts like these throughout the jungle, they could disappear and reappear at will. No wonder their reputation as deadly and cunning foes was so well established. The root ceiling gave way to solid stone, and the air cooled considerably. Agamemnon felt his sweaty uniform starting to dry. 20 yards farther on, the slope seemed to level off. All around him was solid stone. The floor had also gone to stone instead of dirt. There was still some dust on it, but the tunnels now seemed carved right from bedrock. He brought the muzzle of the AK-47 out in front of him now. No sense letting himself get surprised and taken if he could help it. He came to a fork with one tunnel leading left and one to the right. Agamemnon paused and strained to hear or see anything down either side. He was amazed at how much he'd been able to make out in almost total darkness. It seemed that, instead of seeing, he was more sensing things with regards to dimensions. He was also using his hands quite a bit more, trying to get an image of where he was. He was amazed at how extensive the underground network seemed to be. He'd read about the tunnels used by the Viet Cong in the Vietnam War, but those were cramped and hot, not spacious and cool like these. Surely the people who had constructed them were engineering geniuses. He might even forgive Joey for running off like this. After all, this tunnel complex was a great discovery. Agamemnon could bring his men down here and kill whoever lived here. Then they could take them over and use the tunnel network for their base of operations in case things went south. Down here, they'd be completely hidden and safe from snipers and annoying American women. Agamemnon nodded. Yes, he had much to thank Joey for. He paused and considered which way to go. At some point, he was going to have to find his way back out to the jungle. He had to make sure he remembered exactly how he had come. He glanced back instinctively before realizing he wouldn't be able to see much. He could have marked the wall, perhaps, but what good would it really do? Right or left? Finally, he broke off to the left tunnel. It stayed on a level footing and continued for about 20 yards. He froze and listened, realizing that someone was coming straight toward him. Agamemnon raised the AK-47 to his shoulder and glanced around before realizing he wouldn't necessarily see a good spot for cover. He moved to the side of the tunnel and squatted, running his hands over the rough rock. A small depression seemed adequate to at least provide him some measure of surprise for when they reached him.
I want to go back. She's probably dead. I want to get out of here. I should have known you. Forget her!
Agamemnon stood, feeling confident he had the superior position on whoever was coming toward him.
Stop! Come toward me slowly!
Agamemnon wished he'd remembered to bring a flashlight with him from camp, but then again, he hadn't imagined he'd be underground in a tunnel.
Who's there?
Eduardo?
Agamemnon?
My God, it is you!
Yes, sir. I was kidnapped by some tribe of crazy warriors who kept us imprisoned down here.
Us?
Yes, sir. I'm not alone.
Who else is with you?
An American.
American? The woman?
No, sir. We left her behind.
Where?
Back there. She told us to escape.
So who is with you?
The sniper.
What? The man who killed Luis?
Yes, sir.
I should shoot you.
He raised the rifle and tried to visualize where Eduardo would be standing.
We called a truce until we could escape. Otherwise, we'd all be dead by now, and what good would that do?
Shut up! Eduardo, you are supposed to be hunting him, not befriending him.
I did hunt him, and while I was, we were being hunted as well.
By this tribe you speak of?
The guide we used. He betrayed us.
Agamemnon couldn't believe what he was hearing. The sniper was so close he could touch him. He raised the rifle and fired. Agamemnon dropped the rifle back on its sling as he grabbed at his ears, momentarily deafened by the gunshot.
Oh, that was smart.
Agamemnon wanted to kill him so badly he could feel his heart thundering in his chest.
Thanks for telling those clowns exactly where we are. This is the guy you take orders from?
He's my leader.
You're all idiots.
We've got to get out of here, sir.
Yes, yes, we have to get out of here.
It's that dawning realization that makes this such a special moment for me.
I will kill you! Know that! As soon as we get out of this place, I will kill you very, very slowly.
Yeah, yeah, promises, promises. Let's just get the hell out of here before we find ourselves with a welcome party on our asses.
I came from this direction. Follow me.
He led them back up the tunnel toward the fork. If he could just remember which option it would be when they got there, they'd be back at the tree trunks in no time. From there, it would be just a matter of getting out of the hole and then back to the camp, where they'd be safe. They reached the fork in the tunnel.
Which way?
This was the direction I came from.
Ouch!
Agamemnon brushed a hand up to his neck, thinking a mosquito had landed on him. Instead, he felt something soft, like feathers. Feathers? He slumped to the cave floor. Anya floated in a gray mist. She felt a breeze passing over her. The fog began to clear, and she felt the hard ground underneath her. Anya opened her eyes. It was still dark. The smell of smoke pooled around her. She realized the torches must have gone out while she was unconscious. That's why it was dark. She breathed deeply. She felt the ground with her hands and then bumped into the body of one of the men she'd killed.
Oh. Ugh.
Anya got to her feet. She felt pretty good, all things considered. The fresh air must have revived her. She wondered where it came from. She thought maybe she hadn't been poisoned after all. Maybe the torches had been giving off some sort of fumes that had knocked her out. She ran her hands down her back, searching for wounds. There was a tear in her clothing and a tender spot, but otherwise there were no signs of serious damage to her anywhere. There'd be time for a better assessment later. Right now, she had to find a way out of this place. She had to hook back up with Eduardo and Vic. Anya stumbled toward the exit of the cavern, the way Vic and Eduardo had gone when she'd told them to leave her behind. The tunnel was still all rock, but Anya felt a breeze of cool air circulating throughout. It felt great on her exposed arms. It felt great to have all her senses back again, now that the fumes had been purged from her system. She followed the tunnel until it came to three more openings. Anya's gut told her to go down the left tunnel, and she obeyed the instinct. Ahead of her, she thought she could make out some flickering light. Perhaps Vic and Eduardo had managed to find some more to help them wind their way throughout the tunnel complex. She edged closer. She frowned. She wasn't heading toward Vic and Eduardo at all. She was heading right to where the tribe of warriors was assembling. The light grew stronger as Anya crept down the tunnel. She could make out shapes and dimensions of the tunnel. She could stand up if she wanted to, but Anya kept a low profile. The closer she could get without anyone seeing her, the better. A wretched burning smell wafted toward Anya. She wrinkled her nose and breathed carefully through her mouth to keep from sneezing.
Oh. God, what the hell is for dinner?
She moved closer still. The air tasted acrid. Smoke billowed down the cave, obscuring the limited amount of vision she had. Anya used her hands to paw at the cave walls. She moved farther down the tunnel. The light illuminated the smoke, giving the entire cave the look of an old Hollywood set, with overflowing fog covering everything. Anya pushed through it and stepped into a huge cavern. The walls were red, torches hung everywhere, jumping and throwing shadows and light everywhere. Anya gazed down upon the floor of the cavern some 30 feet below her. There must have been 100 people down there. She saw warriors, both male and female, and even some children. All of them were covered in elaborate body paint. In front of them, a ledge had been carved out of the rest of the cave. Hector, the old man, stood there, decorated in some type of costume with a feather-laden headband on his head. He held his arms high overhead, urging the chanters on to greater volume. But it was what was behind him that made Anya's gut tighten. Vic, Eduardo, and Agamemnon, the terrorist leader. They were suspended upside down over a pit bordered on all sides by a giant bonfire. And with every beat of the drum, the rope lowered them deeper toward the gaping pit filled with black water. The steady throb of drumbeats invaded the darkness of Agamemnon's mind. The more he tried to ignore it, the louder the noise grew, until at last he cracked his eyes open and saw the world in front of him turned around. His hands were bound behind him, and he felt a throbbing in his head from being suspended upside down over a black pit far below. He glanced up and saw the knots binding his feet were secured to a rope. He turned his head, feeling dizzy and sick. Next to him, dangling in similar fashion, he saw Eduardo and the sniper. Agamemnon smiled. At least the sniper would die. But he had to figure out a way to free himself. He looked down at the rock ledge and the man whipping his followers into a frenzy. Judging from the costume and the chanting, he was the man in charge. He could see the men, women, and children all chanting in time to the drummed beat. What is going on here? Agamemnon glanced down at the pit. The fire that ringed it cast only a little bit of light farther down, making the water look like frozen darkness. But since they were slowly descending toward the pit, Agamemnon found himself concentrating on what it might contain. What was in that water? He shuddered. Whatever it couldn't be good. And he had to somehow get free and get out of here. He had a city to vaporize. He twisted on the rope, straining at the knots that bound his hands. He shrugged his body and tried flexing his muscles. But every time he tried, he only succeeded in making the knots bite into his skin. A small dribble of blood fell from his wrists and sank into the black pit. And then Agamemnon felt something move next to him. He turned to see Eduardo's eyes fluttered open.
Sir?
Eduardo?
What is this?
We seem to be suspended above a pit ringed with fire. Every time they beat the drum, the rope lowers us a little bit more.
What's in the pit?
I don't know.
Eduardo struggled with his knots, only managing to sway slightly in place.
They're tight. I already tried to get loose.
I see they took us all. Those damn dots.
They also got your newest friend, I see.
He's not my friend, Agamemnon.
But you risk compromising our mission.
Eduardo glanced at the sniper, who still seemed to be unconscious.
We shouldn't talk about that right now. Not with him so close to us.
We're all hanging here. Even if we get free, there's no way I'll allow him to survive this ordeal. He's as good as dead.
Agamemnon glanced up at his feet. He could see the rope vanish up into the rock ceiling. Somewhere up there, they must have a series of levers. But who was holding the rope? Agamemnon looked back down at the ledge. He scanned the crowd and finally spotted three men standing off to one side. Each of them held a rope, and every time the drum sounded, they let another fistful of rope go, lowering Agamemnon, Eduardo, and the sniper closer to the pit.
That's them!
Who, sir?
The men holding us up! If we're to get out of this alive, we'll need to figure out how to get to them.
How can we do that?
Give me some time to think it over.
Time?
Even the worst situations can be gotten out of. It's just a matter of looking at it from all perspectives.
If you say so, sir.
Anyone ever tell you guys that you talk way too much?
Agamemnon turned and saw the American sniper's eyes were now open.
Hey, I know you. You're Agamemnon, right?
How do you know me?
Oh, we've got lots of photographs of you back in Manila. Seems like you pissed off a good number of people, buddy.
Yes, yes, so what? Do you have any ideas on how we might get out of this mess?
You want me to help you? Since we're all in exactly the same position, I don't know how much help I'll be.
Look,
Those men down there hold the ropes that keep us from falling right into the pit.
All right, so what's your plan? You want to attack them with our psychic abilities?
I am not sure yet, but I did want to make you aware of all the factors.
Okay.
Eduardo kept looking at the water beneath them.
How long do you think we have before they lower us all the way into the pit?
I give us 10 minutes.
Agreed.
Eduardo struggled again with his knots. The more he exerted himself, the weaker he looked.
Calm down!
How can you say that?
Because fear paralyzes you. If you can reason things out, then there's always a chance you will come out on top.
Agamemnon looked around the cavern. The walls were streaked with red. It looked like blood. He could make out a series of paintings on the far side of the cavern, but smoke from the bonfire obscured his vision.
Eduardo, do you see those?
What?
The paintings over there. I can't make out what they are.
Eduardo turned himself around and tried to right himself to get a better look. After a moment, he collapsed and swung, sweat dripping off his nose.
I can't see them any better.
I can.
So what are they?
You sure you want me to tell you?
Yes.
It'll ruin the surprise.
Just tell us.
They show some kind of giant creature. It's eating the people who get dropped into the pit.
Creature?
I can't figure out what it is, but I think it's a pretty safe assumption that we're on the menu for dinner tonight.
That painting could be 100 years old. There's no reason to believe that such a creature exists.
Agamemnon felt himself being lowered closer to the pit.